I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and I want to start here in verse number 13. Luke chapter 16, verse number 13. Here in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is speaking here to the crowd, and he's trying to help them and show them the importance of living for God and doing what they're supposed to be doing for God in the light of others who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing for God. And you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were very, you know, outspoken and seen by everyone, but everybody knew that they weren't doing the right things, but they didn't know what else to do. And here Jesus said something here in Luke chapter 16, verses 13, 14, and 15. I want to read this to you tonight. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters." Well, let me say that again. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. In other words, they mocked him. They made fun of him. And the Bible said, "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts." Boy, what a thought that is. God knows our hearts. He knows everything that we do. He knows why we do it. "For God knows your heart." Then he said, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Now, as Jesus spoke to these religious leaders that day, his desire was that they hear truth. Now, truth is something today that not many people want to hear. They don't want to listen to it. It offends them. They don't like truth. But folks, I'll be honest with you. If I'm going down the road and I'm getting ready to come to a bridge and that bridge is out, I don't want somebody standing out there and saying, "Hope you have a good fishing day." You know, something like that. I want them to warn me. I want them to tell me the truth. Hey, you need to turn around and go the opposite way because the bridge is out. Yes. And that's what Jesus was trying to get these people to understand. Listen, they not only rejected the truth of the message that he preached, but they rejected him as the living truth, the giver of all truth as well. And, you know, he was their promised Messiah, but they could not see that. They didn't see it. The life that these men lived and the testimony that these religious leaders displayed before the people was not a good testimony for the Lord God. It was not a good testimony. And they claimed one thing, but they did another thing, okay? And as I preached to you this morning about the difference that Jesus makes in the life of someone, the difference that only Christ can make, listen, they didn't want to hear those things. They didn't want to hear that. Now, I can't express to you tonight enough. There's no words that I could ever say to try to express to you the importance of living what we say. When we say we love the Lord, then our lives ought to display that. And man, the world needs to see the reality of us loving the Lord and living for Him in all that we do. A good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ can make a difference in someone's life forever. But we need to live that life for Him. And whether it be at home or at work or at play or the schoolhouse or wherever, we need to keep that good testimony for the Lord. And what we say we believe about the Lord, we ought to be living that in our lives so that people can see it. These religious rulers in Jerusalem had a bad testimony for the Lord God that they said they loved. The God that they said they believed and they said they were teaching about, they had a bad testimony. And they claimed to know Him, but they never really knew Him. And I believe with all my heart, and I'm telling you this now, and you can read this passage and read these chapters, Jesus was concerned for them. His desire was that no one should perish. No one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he especially wanted these people, these religious leaders, to come to that point in their lives so they could teach the people the truth of the scriptures. And these religious leaders, bless their hearts, they adored the rich crowd. Oh, they adored them because they brought money into the temple. And they provided the things and the foods and the things that they wanted and they strived to have, even as we see in a lot of religious institutions today, okay? And all this stuff on TV, they always want you to send them a bunch of money so that you can get a little rag that's been dipped in the water somewhere or something. You know, and it's just sad. It's sad. But here in this 16th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus shows his love for them by giving them truth. Now, if you'll remember back in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus came because he wanted to find out who Jesus was. He wanted to know truth. And he tried to impress Jesus, and he said, Master, we know that thou art come from God, because no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But Jesus looked at him, and he looked at the heart of the issue, and he just said, Nicodemus, listen to me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He got down to the nitty-gritty of what the subject was all about. It wasn't about Nicodemus doing good. It wasn't about anything else that they did as religious leaders. Because if you look back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse 20, there he was teaching the people and he was reminding them. And he said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed, go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he was trying to tell them, listen, they portray a perfect picture of a life for the Lord. They try to make themselves look like they do nothing wrong. But unless your life can be better than that, unless you can be more righteous than they are, you'll not see the kingdom of God. And folks, listen to me today. There's none of us that could ever do that. None of us. The scribes, the Pharisees couldn't be that good. They portrayed themselves to be perfect and self-righteous, but they were lost just like everybody else was, and they needed a Savior. And so we see here that it's neither the testimony of doing good deeds, it's not the testimony of performing all sorts of religious works and miracles and all this stuff that's being done by the scribes and the Pharisees to get a person into heaven. But it was having that personal relationship with the Lord God through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus wanted them to know that. And so tonight I want to share with you, and whether you're saved or whether you're lost, this needs to be understood by each of us today. We need to see the seriousness of the matter. I want you to see the testimony of a man who was lost and who is, even as of today, this very day, still burning in the flames of hell. And after Jesus talked to these people about you can't serve two masters, you got to serve one or you got to serve the other. You can't serve both. This morning I shared with you the testimony of a man that came to know Christ, and Christ made a difference in his life. And tonight I want you to see that, listen, this man that rejected Christ, the man this morning accepted him. But the man I'm going to speak to you tonight rejected the truth. He followed along with just the things of this old world, just like most people do. And I want to show you tonight, and I want to give to you tonight from this chapter, the testimony of a man lost and in hell. I want to share with you the testimony of a man lost and in hell. I want Christians to understand the reality of hell today. Why do we do what we do? Why do we have Sunday school? Why do we have church? Why do we have a bus ministry? Why do we have the children's ministries? Why do we have the adult ministries, the Super 60s, the deaf ministry? Why do we have all the things that we do, the Spanish church and the deaf classes and the Christian school? Why do we have all these things? It's because there is a hell.
Right.
And folks without Christ go there.
That's right.
They spend eternity there. And folks, unless they hear the message and are saved, they'll be just like this rich man we're going to read about here in just a moment. They'll be there for all eternity. There's no coming out. And as Christians, we need to see that. We need to remember tonight that folks are dying and going to hell. And we hold the truth that they need to hear tonight.
Amen.
We know that truth. And we need to deliver that truth. And then if there's somebody here tonight that's lost, maybe somebody watching through the internet that's lost tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you were to die tonight, you are not 100% certain that you go to heaven. I want you to understand something. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You can't see it. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So I want us to see tonight the testimony of a man lost and in hell, okay? Let's pray, and then I'll give you the message tonight. Father, Lord, I love you, and I thank you, Father, for the opportunity again tonight that you've given me to preach this message. Lord, I know without a doubt, God, that you gave me this message to preach. But, Lord, I need your strength and your power tonight to give the words that you'd have me to say. Watch over us, Lord, tonight, and speak to hearts. Help those that are listening tonight to consider the words from this message that you taught the people. And Lord, help us to take it as a serious thing tonight. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. First of all, tonight, I want you to see how this man that died without Christ was humbled in hell. You know what? Humility is something that a lot of people don't want to show forth. They don't want to be humble. Folks today are filled with much pride. Much pride. Everybody wants to parade downtown, celebrate Pride Month and all this other stuff. Listen to me. There is no pride in sin. There's no pride. There ought to be shame tonight in sin. But there's pride being displayed in sinful actions and sinful things. I want you to look tonight at Luke chapter 16 as we go down through here. I want to start here in verse number 19 now, where the Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I cannot imagine what it must have been like for that man to die and close his eyes in this present physical world and open them in the flames of hell. I cannot imagine in my mind what that must have been like. He had dwelled with physical wealth and luxury here upon this earth. He had lived a life that was second to none. He had everything he ever wanted, but he still died, and he left it all behind, and he woke up in the flames of hell. Look at what the scripture says. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now, I want to stop right there just a moment, and I want to remind you of something. This story that Jesus is preaching and teaching the people, number one, I want you to notice who's giving the story. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling this story. If anybody were to know the truth about this man, Jesus would know the truth about this man. He would know his heart's condition. He would know how he lived on earth, and he would know how he now lived in hell. Second thing I want you to understand is the story that Jesus tells is a true story. It's a true story. It's a factual story. A lot of people say, oh, it's just a made-up picture story. No, Jesus didn't do that. You see, Jesus wanted the folks to see truth and understand that he did not want them to spend eternity separated from God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That word perish means to die without hope, but have everlasting life. Amen. And that everlasting life was with God in heaven. God wanted that. In this life, this man lifted up his eyes to no one. He was rich. He was faring sumptuously every day. He did everything extraordinarily. He did it with great pomp and circumstance. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, the Bible said. He demanded respect and honor from those around him. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I do not claim to know of a certainty what people in hell can or cannot see. I don't know what they can or cannot see. But the implication here is in this passage that this man somehow could see and at least be aware of those folks who are outside of hell and in paradise of Abraham's bosom. And he could see and evidently talk to them. And the Bible said here, Jesus said in verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He knew who Lazarus was, the beggar that laid outside the gates of his guarded house, desiring to be fed with the crumbs, the throwaways of whatever they had at their table. And his dogs, I picture them as being the security dogs outside the gate or keeping folks away from the gate. Even the dogs had compassion on Lazarus and came and licked his sores. And this man had nothing to do with Lazarus, didn't care what his situation was. But this man was humbled and he was broken to see the very ones whom he had shunned on earth and had felt himself to be so much better than they were. He saw them now. And now in a place of beautiful peace and tranquility, Abraham and Lazarus, that's where they dwelled. But he was suffering anguish and torments in the flames of hell. And what a sad testimony for a man who had been so blessed by God to have all the physical things that he had been given by God. Listen to me. God blesses the good and the bad. He gives blessings to both. But when you neglect to see where those blessings come from and you reject the giver of those blessings, boy, you're in a heap of trouble. You're in a mess of trouble. He had rejected the very God from whom all those blessings had flowed. And now this man was truly humbled in hell. But number two, I want you to see tonight how he was tormented in hell. He was tormented. Do you know what it means to be tormented? I'm speaking tonight of this word, torment. And I looked up the definition of that word. And this is what it says. The definition of the word torment is extreme pain or anguish of body, soul, or mind. Agony, vexation, pain, and affliction of great distress. And I want you to notice the word here in verse number 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It has an S on the end of that, meaning more than one. He had more than one way in which he was being tormented in hell. I truly believe in my heart, I truly believe that one of the worst torments of hell is not just the excruciating pain of the flames that are engulfing that soul. That's got to be bad. I mean, I've been burned on my hand, or, you know, my wife the other night was putting a log in the fire in the wood stove, and she touched something and it burned her finger. And boy, that hurt her. It hurt. But could you imagine not just a finger, but that whole hand, the whole arm, whole body, everything in the flames of the torments of hell? I can't imagine what it would be like. But I truly believe that one of the worst torments that someone could ever go through in hell is the torment of memories. Memories. Remembering every time that somebody came and knocked on their door and nobody was there, or maybe they were there and just wouldn't answer, and so they left a gospel tract inside the door for them to read and to tell them how that they could be saved, and they rejected it. They threw it in the garbage can and said, oh, that cult down there. You know, they called it all kinds of names. I truly believe with all my heart, every time that those people have turned away the message of the gospel and made fun of the man of God or the lady that comes out and tries to tell them about Jesus, I believe in hell one of the greatest torments will be their remembrance of that action and how that they could have at that time receive forgiveness of their sin and been saved, and yet now they're experiencing the torments of hell. I believe that those torments also include all the times that they chose to mock and to curse and to openly and so just blatantly tell people and dispel the truth of the gospel and just say, get off my prayer. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't hear anything you got to say. And I believe the memories of that will haunt them forever and forever. I know of mothers and fathers right now who have chosen not to let that Sunday school bus go by their house and pick up their children to bring them to church because they didn't want their kids exposed to that stuff, that religious stuff. And I know of kids that have died. I had to preach the funeral for a young man. He was only 16. And he died because he was with friends. And he was with friends and they were playing poker. And they were playing this game and they played Russian roulette with a gun. One bullet in, spin it, point it at your friend's head and pull the trigger. And a friend shot him in the head, blew the back of his head off. I remember looking at that young man laid in that casket and having to preach a funeral for that. And folks, I'm telling you, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to have a lot of bad memories in hell if they don't get saved. Amen. What a torment it would be for them to have to go through that. And this man, I'm telling you, I believe one of the greatest torments he would experience are all the times that he could have listened to the truth and could have been saved, and he chose not to be. And then he caused others not to hear the gospel as well. Folks, in the latter part of verse number 24, Jesus said that this man begged for someone. Look at it, verse 24. He cried out and said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Folks, in your mind's eye tonight, can you see this man suffering in agony because he's rejected God? He didn't go to hell because he was rich. People don't go to hell because they're poor. You don't go to hell because you're black or you're white or you're Hispanic or you're Chinese or Russian. That's not what sends somebody to hell. Listen, and God never sends anybody to hell. A person sins themselves when they reject the truth of the gospel. They hear it, they dispel it, they reject it. Can you hear his cries tonight and the anguish of the torments that he's now experiencing in this awful place called hell? I want you to know that this man was humbled in hell. He was tormented in hell. But number three, I want you to see tonight how this man was fearful in hell. He was filled with fear. Look at it. Verse number 24. Jesus told those people that he was preaching to. Jesus is giving this story. And he's telling them. And he's telling them of this man that rejected the Lord God. And he's telling them of how this man cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." You listen to me tonight. This man was literally scared to death. But there was nothing now that could be done about his situation. Oh, there are folks today. I remember witnessing to a young man one time before. He went to the Catholic Church. And I witnessed to him. And he said, "I don't need to get saved. I don't need any of that stuff." I said, "I've given you the gospel. Don't you realize that you're lost?" "Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that." I said, "Don't you understand that you're going to spend eternity in hell if you die?" "Oh, yeah, I know that. I understand that. But the priest has told me that my parents can pay money and they can get me out of all that. They can get me out. It's not a problem." And he rejected the Lord. He just laughed and kind of mocked about it. And it just frightened me to death. I thought, my soul, he's been deceived. He's been deceived by a lie. This man now realized that he had been wrong in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And fear gripped his soul. Fear gripped his soul. This man now knew that he had shown no mercy to anybody around him. Not to Lazarus. Not to anybody else around him. He was large and in charge. And now there was no one to show mercy unto him. No one. No one to help relieve him of his agonies in this eternal torment of fire and flame. This man was filled with fear. Fear of an eternity separated from anyone that he knew and loved. Separated from the God that he had mocked and made fun of. And he was separated from all these things. And there was no one to help relieve his agony. The agony of making a wrong decision. The agony of the flames and the torments he was going through. There was no one to help him. And although we don't know exactly how long this man has been in hell, I don't know how long ago this may have been, but we know there's been many centuries now. Jesus told this story some 2,000 plus years ago. So we know that it's got to be at least that long. But you think about it, folks. He's still there today. He's still there experiencing the same agonies, the same torments, the same fear that he was experiencing when Jesus told this story. And he's probably today still crying out, "Someone have mercy on me and send someone that they may dip the tip of their finger in cold water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Folks, he was fearful in hell. I want you to see tonight just how humbled he was. I want you to understand how tormented that he was and how fearful this man was here in hell. But number four, I want you to see this. I want you to see how this man was reminded of some things in hell that he had chosen not to think about while he was still alive on earth. He had some things that he was being reminded of here that he had chosen to put aside, chosen not to think about while he was still living on earth. One of the things I believe he was thinking about, he was reminded of his past. He was reminded of his past. I want you to look here in verse number 25, the first part of the verse. The Bible said, after he cried out for mercy and wanted someone to bring him water and just dip the tip of their finger in water and cool his tongue, Abraham spoke to him and said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things." Folks, let me tell you something today. You can receive all the good things in this life that you could ever receive. But without Jesus, none of those things will help you when you're in hell. It'll not help you. He was reminded of how he had treated those around him in such an evil way. And how that now his choices had brought evil upon him there in the flames of hell. He was reminded of his past. But secondly, I believe he was reminded of his separation now. His separation. Look at verse 26. He was separated from those that he knew on earth. Now look what it says in verse 26. He learned that beside all this, you know, there was nobody to come and help him. He said, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Listen, he was separated from all those people that he once knew. Separated from anyone that he had ever known while he lived on this earth. And I want you to see this tonight. He was reminded that he was separated from the very God that he had rejected. Can you imagine being separated from God? Man, I need the Lord every day. I pray and ask him every day to be my strength and help me to live for him the way I ought to live for him. Man, I'm thankful that he dwells within my heart. And he's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. But can you imagine being in a place totally separated from the God that loved you and gave his son for you? No one from the paradise side of heaven could come to him. Nor could anyone from there in hell ever come into the presence of God in heaven. When you're there, it's for eternity. And I looked at this, and folks, I thought about this phrase, this great gulf. You know what a gulf is? I looked it up. The dictionary said a great gulf is a deep chasm, a wide gap, an immeasurable abyss, a bottomless pit of chaos and utter confusion. Boy, does that not describe hell? A great gulf fixed. Now, what does that mean? That word fixed, it means that it was securely placed and established and was not subject to change in any of its location. That great gulf, that great chasm, that great separation of those people in hell from those people that are in heaven is a great gulf that is fixed. It is established. There is no changing it. There is no reduction in the distance of separation. It's an eternal separation. And I want you to understand tonight, he was reminded that his separation from God was for eternity. It wasn't for just a couple days. It wasn't for just a couple weeks or a couple years. But folks, it was for eternity. Eternity is a long time. Time doesn't matter in eternity. And I want you to understand, listen to me tonight. He was not only separated from all those that he knew on earth, but now he was forever separated from the God that he had rejected while he lived upon the earth. He was separated from that God. I cannot imagine, again, I cannot imagine being separated from God. And you know, just as a saved person dies and goes to heaven, and we're there for the Lord for all eternity, we're there. We never leave. We don't have to leave that place. And we're not going to be ever out of that place. So then every person upon this earth who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in the flames of hell, in that great gulf that is forever fixed and separated from God. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but if I had someone that was lost, I would not want them to have to go through that. If I had a worst enemy today, I would not want them to spend eternity separated from God in that awful place called hell. But all those who choose to die lost in their sin are forever separated from all that they ever knew. Whether it be riches and fame, wealth or poverty, good and bad, that separation is forever. But perhaps saddest of all, he was reminded that he had a family on earth that was just as lost as he was now in hell. He was reminded that he had a family on earth that was just as lost as he was now in hell. Look at Luke chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. And here we see that after he comes to realize his eternal separation from all that he knew on earth, and from the God who had made the way possible for him to escape this awful place of torments, Jesus now told the people how this man said, "I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." You know what? The burden that he got for his family was too late now. He had rejected God. He probably knew he had caused them to not accept God. He probably had a big influence in their lives and caused them to think, "Oh, you don't need religion." You know what? They didn't need religion. What they needed was a relationship. They needed God. But now he's got a burden for his family. And I believe with all my heart that one of the greatest agonies and torments of those that are forever burning in hell will be the remembrance of those that they have influenced through the years to reject Christ, to reject the one that was given for them, to reject that eternal salvation from the wages of sin, which is death and separation from God in hell. And you know, the sad thing I see today in our world today, there are many of the learning institutions of our land today. They're taking our young people and they're training them in their head, but they're not putting a burden in their heart for souls. They give them all kinds of information. They tell them the greatest and latest Bibles that they ought to be using so that they can fully understand the will of God, when there's truly nothing wrong with this one. It tells it quite plainly, quite clearly. And you know what? They go back and they try to tell folks, "Listen, you don't need to worry about that. Find you a place somewhere that you can make yourself a good salary and get yourself this and get yourself that." But there's no burden for lost souls. There's no compassion. There's no concern to go out and tell boys and girls about Jesus, to tell folks about a Savior that wants to save them from their sin. And folks, listen, we do that today from a heart of gratefulness tonight and compassion. Because I remember in my own heart, had it not been for the buses that came by my house, I may have never heard the gospel. Man, I thank God for that Sunday school bus that came by my house. Listen, I thank God for that Sunday school teacher that came to my house and thanked me for coming into his Sunday school class and brought me, you know, the kindness and the love that I'd not seen anywhere else. And they loved me and shared the gospel with me. We had a group of what we called our teenagers was Teens for Souls. Teens for Souls. And we probably had 80 or so that went out every week, every Thursday night. And you know what happened? Those Sunday school teachers came to the visitation program, the soul winning program, and they taught those young people how to lead folks to Christ, and they took us in their own vehicles out to spread the gospel. Now, in those days, we could go to the hospital parking lots and give out gospel tracts in the parking lot. We could go into shopping centers and give out gospel tracts. We could go into the apartment complexes and give out the gospel tracts. It's difficult to do that nowadays. But you know what? I watch every Wednesday afternoon when this man gets his young people out and they go out and they share the message of the gospel. And boy, I'm reminded, I had some Sunday school teachers that did that for me and encouraged me. And man, the first time I got to lead somebody to Christ, I was so excited. And my Sunday school teacher said, "Man, that was great. That was great. You think you can do that again?" And man, I was excited about it because I got to lead my first person to the Lord Jesus Christ. When this man realized his situation in hell, his thoughts immediately reminded him of his five brothers at home that he had left behind and who were on the same pathway to the hell that he was now in. And now he was experiencing the results of rejecting God. And he did not want his family to go through that. And the Bible said here that as he thought upon this terrible situation, he begged for someone to go and testify unto them, lest they also should come into this place of torment. And folks, I believe with all my heart this evening that if we were able to split the very foundations of this building, right here, just split it in half, and dig down through the earth, and go down into the very pits of hell and open it up, you'd hear people still screaming, somebody go and tell my family so they don't have to come to this awful place. I believe that. And you know what? This man was not by himself. This man was only one of the billions that are there today screaming for someone. We can't physically hear that. But the Bible said Jesus told how this man cried out for someone to go and tell his five brethren. But number five, I want to share this with you. I want you to see how this man, though once a rich man on earth, was now a mere beggar in the flames of hell. Though he was at one time a rich man, a man probably full of fame and fortune and all sorts of things that everybody here today desires to have. Now he's mere a beggar. He's a beggar. Begging for someone to get him out. Begging for someone to bring him some water. Begging for someone to go and tell his family about the Lord. And look at verse 27. This man, though he was in anguish and pain, he now cried out to Abraham and he begged him and he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He knew that the riches that he had gained on this earth could never help him now in hell. Folks, listen, again, we come into this world with nothing, and without Jesus, we're going to leave it the same way. And this man realized. He now knew that his religious affiliations, if he had any, and none of those things could help him. He knew that his tax-deductible donations to this place or that place could not help him in hell. It couldn't help his family, whom he wanted to keep out of hell. And now he begged for someone to show mercy to his cries and go to his father's house and tell his five brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what I believe today? Hell is bursting at the seams with folks that while they lived on earth were rich and powerful and famous and had all kinds of influence upon other people. And they're mere beggars now in hell, begging for someone to go and tell them, their family, about the Lord Jesus Christ. But lastly tonight, I want to share this with you. Number six, I want you to see the importance of the Word of God in the message that Jesus preached here. I want you to see the importance of the Word of God and how its message of salvation from sin can make an eternal difference in the lives of those who have the opportunity to hear it. Folks that are lost need to hear the gospel. And you know what? The only way they're going to hear the gospel is for you and I to take it to them, to take the message. After begging for someone, either from heaven or from hell, to go and testify unto his five brethren, to keep them out of that awful place, we read something here in verses 29 through 31. And I want you to look at this with me. The Bible said that Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Now what was Abraham saying? They've got the Old Testament scriptures. They've got the Word of God. They've got the word of God. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. He said, they won't listen to that. We made fun of the word of God. Man, we didn't believe that stuff. We didn't want to hear that stuff. They won't listen to the word of God. But if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said unto them, unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, folks, I want to say something. And I say this because it breaks my heart. I don't know if you've noticed it today or not, but a lot of these things that we see being preached in churches around us today and on television, most of the preaching that you see and hear today, they're only preaching things to make gain for themselves. And they're not preaching the truth of heaven and about hell. And if you'll notice today, everybody today is wanting to see or have some sort of a divine miracle in their lives rather than hearing the word of God and the truth that it has to declare. Everybody's looking for a miracle. Oh, I want this miracle. Oh, I gave $100 to this ministry and God blessed me with a miracle. And I've got $1,000 now. Listen, we don't give money to God to get that back from God. We do it because we love him. We're thankful for what he's done for us. And it's there to help us provide the means to get the gospel to those that are lost. Folks, what our lost world today needs is some sound Bible preaching again. No apologies. No coming back and saying, oh, Jesus didn't really mean this. Let me tell you what he really meant. No, just give them the truth of the word of God. And what America needs today is not some sort of a miracle election in November. That's not going to be what we need. What we need today is for America to have revival in the hearts of men and women like you and me, and in the pulpit, in the pastor's hearts, and we go out and we do what God said do, and that is to give the message of the gospel to those that are lost. If a man's heart is right with God, he'll vote right. You understand that tonight? Listen, it's not Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden that's going to bring a miracle into this country. What we need is a revival in our hearts. And you know what? We need to do what Jesus said do. When Jesus looked at those disciples before he ended or ascended back up into heaven, he told them, he said, you will receive power from the Holy Ghost of God. Not to speak in some unknown jibber-jabber and roll around on the floor and cackle like a chicken and laugh and carry on. No. But that they would be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jerusalem, that's right where they were. And in Judea, that's the next county out. And in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The word of God needs to be preached and declared because the word of God is the only thing that will make a difference in a person's life so that they can know that salvation is true and real. The word of God is what makes the eternal difference in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And churches across this country have denied the very words of this old book. They've made perversions of this book. And people are swallowing it up, hook, line, and sinker today. And they're looking for miracles and not for truth. And folks, you and I have the truth. The word of God is what makes a difference in a person's life. And you know what? The message today is still that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen? That's the message tonight. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. I'll get it right in a minute. He said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. We're all lost without Christ. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he asks a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all accepted the gospel, Paul said. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And he closed out that chapter and he says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' day, the word of God was important for folks to be saved. And folks, in our day today, the word of God is important in salvation. They must hear the gospel. Now my question is tonight, as we close and we give this invitation, my question to you tonight is this. Who will tonight stand and say, I'll go? Who will stand and say, you know what? I need to get a burden for those that are lost in my city. Who will go and say, hey, I'll go out to the track right tonight and I'll get me a bunch of tracks. I noticed tonight, I put out tracks this morning when I came in because I've been out for 2 weeks and I hadn't filled the track rack. And I filled it up this morning and there were slots tonight that were empty. And you know what? That just thrills my heart. Because you know what? Somebody's taking those things and they're giving them out so that the world might know how that they can be saved. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And he closed that verse out and he says, but I found none. I found none. No one would stand. No one would do what God said do. You know, what a sad state for so-called Christian institutions and colleges and learning facilities, even churches, when folks don't want to do. They'll pay money, they'll put money in the offering plate to send somebody else out to do it, but they won't go across the street and tell their neighbor how to go to heaven. And folks, listen, that ought not be. I thank God for this church. This church is highly spoken of everywhere. And folks, we just finished out a Zoom class with folks from New York all the way down into the Florida area. And you know why they took that Zoom soul winning club training class? Because they wanted to know how that they could learn to tell folks about Jesus. The class is usually about 1 hour. I teach it from 7 o'clock until 8:15 on Tuesday nights. This last class that we had on this past Tuesday night, it went until after 9:15. Why? Because they wanted to learn how to tell folks about Jesus. And folks, that's the way it ought to be. Many such places today in our world, these religious institutions, they basically teach three things. Three things are coming out of their pulpits. Healing, physical healing. Oh man, they come down and have a big healing spell. And they blow on somebody and they fall down. I don't know if that's because they got bad breath or what, but they fall down and think, oh man, I'm all healed. You listen to me tonight. You can go, you can have a perfect body and still die and go to hell. They teach, oh, this physical healing. They teach about prosperity. Oh, if you'll just serve God, if you're in God's will, then you'll be prosperous. You'll make millions. You'll do this, you'll do that. They preach healing, prosperity, and conservative politics. That's what they're teaching today. And that's the main three subjects that many places are teaching about today. But Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Folks, revival starts right here. Lord, send me. Let me be willing to go and tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched Brother Brian on Mondays going out and taking folks from our Super 60s groups, and they go out in different places and tell folks about Jesus that need to know about Christ. And they go into some of these apartment complexes of folks that have not been in church before. And you know what? What a blessing to know. I can count just about every day of the week at this church, there's somebody going out and trying to reach our community and tell them about Jesus every day of the week. Thank God for that. But listen, you know what? We could still reach more if we just had a few more to go. Hey, listen, let's don't lose the burden for folks today that need to be saved. The testimony of a man lost in hell. Let me ask you tonight, how will that lost man's testimony affect your life tonight? Hey, listen, if you're lost tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, man, it ought to scare you to the point that you say, you know what? I need to be saved. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I don't want to go to that awful place called hell. I want to be able to go to heaven. And you ask, would somebody show me? And you know what? We've got folks all in this building that can take their Bible and show you how to be saved. Folks, listen to me today. We need to have a burden for lost souls. And child of God, I want to encourage you tonight. Tell folks about Jesus. Keep on doing what you've been doing for Jesus. You know what? His coming is very soon. And I want to hear him say those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's all stand just a moment. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how does this lost man in hell's testimony affect you tonight? As a child of God, I would hope it would give you more of a burden for reaching folks that need to hear the gospel. But you know what? As a lost person, I would hope that it would cause you to see your need of a Savior and say, "Lord, I need to be saved." Let that night be tonight. Father, I pray, dear God, as Pastor Young leads us in this song, Lord, that you will strengthen him. And that Christian tonight that you're dealing with tonight, I pray, God, that you'll help them to see the need of reaching folks in this community with the message of the gospel. Lord, help us never to forget what you saved us for. And Lord, if there be anyone here tonight or listening to the sound of my voice through the internet, Lord, that needs to be saved, I pray, dear God, that they'll come to that point in their life and they'll say, "Lord, I need you. I need to be saved." And they'll come tonight and let someone take the word of God and show them how they can be saved. Bless now as we close this service. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.